This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Come on, every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro. I got my co-host Dave Rothenberg.
Would you pet me?
Of course I would pet you. Our amazing producers, the big-time executive, RJ Santillo.
I know everything. I know everything that happens in these walls.
And this is why we love you so much. How about the owner of a beautiful palatial condo, Raymond Santiago?
He's got his lack of creativity. He's got his stainless steel appliances, but he doesn't have the warmth of a woman to go home to every night.
So personal. And of course, as always, we have the company. Thank you for getting up with us this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
Who's the cat now?
You are, Dave. Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. Here's every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, you know it, 1-800-919-3776.
Hello?
Hello, Ira. We have an awesome show planned for you today. Whiskers Rothenberg is ready. Let's hear it, Santi.
And the 3-2. Drill deep to left field. This could be it. See ya. He's done it. Number 61. He's been chasing history, and now he makes it. He and Roger Maris are tied with 61 home runs, the most anybody has ever hit in a single season in American League history.
Oh, beautiful call by a beautiful man. Aaron Judge, he finally did it. Home run number 61. Mets, Dave. Mets with their most important win of the season. Eduardo Escobar, we know how much you love him, drove in all five runs. He was the hero. Zach Wilson has been cleared and will start in Pittsburgh this Sunday. Definitely talk about that. NFL Week 4, we got a good one tonight. The undefeated Miami Dolphins take on the Bengals in Cincinnati. We have Allison Chains tickets. We got Jets tailgate VIP tickets. And as always, on the Thursday at 6:45, we have an observations and did it happen in Florida. But before we get to any of that, I'd like to say good morning to a man that can not only sing.
Go and show that you were going to.
Still my favorite, but as it turns out, can also songwrite.
And I have no life, and it's the reason I can't get a wife.
Oh, so beautiful. My little pussycat. Oh, that is the one and only. Very talented, David Rothenberg.
A normal three-hour show is now down to 2 hours and 57 minutes. That's what's happened here. That was
I told you it'd be long.
That was lengthy. That had comedy. It didn't have much in serious tone or nature. But
I will dumber you.
It had a lot. It had a lot. And it was a record-setting performance by Aaron Judge last night. And I said this to you on the pre-show Zoom, on our big get-together. And that is, I was angry at you last night because it'll be fine. And the Mets, and they're losing 4-0, and they look awful and lifeless and listless. And doesn't make sense that I was angry at you? No, but I was. And now I'm not, because the Mets had a terrific win. And not only that, but the Braves lost to the Nats. But I think we have to start where we have to start. And that is 61. You know, I'm watching day after day after day, and I start to have the thought, Rick, last night of, boy, another night of not getting it, because it wasn't early in the game, another night of not getting it, and now we're going to be 7 games left, and all of a sudden you start to think, if it's another game or two, how much pressure builds on this guy, and then, boom, a laser beam lines out of the park, and Aaron Judge has done it. Congratulations to him and the Yankees, 61 home runs.
And you could see the relief, right? You could see it. I mean, his mom's been at all these games. You got Roger Maris Jr., I mean, he's at the...
Can I just, and I don't want to belabor this point.
Yep.
That's very strange that they, is it a demanding that, like, the Marises travel around now with the Yankees?
I mean, that's what, I don't know if they demanded it, but I guess that's how they wanted it.
But did the Marises want that?
Do you really want anyone to break your dad's record?
But no, I wouldn't think so. But they put on such a brave face, and they sit there and they applaud and they pan to them every time Aaron Judge comes up. What an awkward position to put people in.
I didn't feel like it was like that overly awkward. It's a lot.
I don't feel like it was overly visibly awkward. But I mean, you just asked me, would you want your dad's record to be broken?
No, I would not. But would it be cool to have the opportunity to travel around with the team? And if he's going to do it, at least be there when he does it and get to share in the moment? I
guess so. I don't know.
I guess,
man,
that would be pretty cool.
I guess. I mean, for me, that would probably bring back a lot of weird emotions, you know, 61 years later, and now your dad's record's being broken and you have to sit there and put on a brave face. I mean, I wouldn't want my dad's record to be broken.
No, I wouldn't either. But, I mean, it was inevitable that it was going to be broken. So, I guess, I mean, if you're invited and you get to sit there behind the dugout with Aaron Judge's mom and kind of share the moment, have a press conference after and everything else, I mean, listen, I don't think you would have done it, but...
I don't know that they had a much choice. Like, if you... I don't know. The whole thing feels strange. But regardless of that, I mean, today is a celebration, right? I mean...
Well, but everyone lies, don't they, though? But doesn't everyone lie? When they pretend like they're, oh yeah, congratulations on breaking my record, as if anyone really wants their records to be broken.
Well, yes, I think you're right. I think everyone puts on a brave face or you know, sits there and shows that they're happy for the other person. But realistically, I don't know. I don't know how happy I would be. I think that would probably bring up a lot of painful memories, and now it means that it's always been 61 and my dad, and now that's not the case anymore. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's like normal human emotion that you wouldn't be 100% thrilled about that.
Agreed. But they've already been through this, right? Remember, I mean, this is the first time it's happened with anyone that's been clean, but
right,
still, I
legally,
mean, they had to go
correct.
Through this. Yeah. They had to go through this. But, I mean, and of course, in typical Aaron Judge fashion, it ends up being the game winning hit, right? The game's tied. He hits the two-run home run. They end up winning 8-3 in typical fashion. That he's the one, because that's what he's all about. I mean, he's a team first guy. He's not going to change what he's doing at the plate. I actually thought that they would consider giving. Maybe they asked him, "Do you want the day off?" Last night, just to kind of, you know, take a step back. You won the AL East. Relax, clear your head a little bit, and then, you know, we'll take care of this thing at home. But they DH'd him last night. You had Anthony Rizzo coaching, and he got it done. And by the way. See, you bring up that point. If you're a grown man and you show up at a game with a baseball glove and you're that close to catching a ball that's going to change your life and you don't come up with it, I almost feel like your family should just disown you.
What? Why? Now, I think it's an embarrassing moment, but your family should leave you?
Yes.
That should be it? So you drop you have $1 million hurling towards you. Right? $1 million in the air hurling towards you. You have a golden opportunity to catch it. You don't. And I didn't even love the effort on it, to be honest.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought it was a lack of effort. But now, because of that, you go from A to C and the family should leave?
Family should leave, or he should bow out.
What does that mean? What does bow out mean? Go live in Siberia or worse? What do you say?
At least stay away from the house for a couple days. Hotel, not even a hotel, motel.
Like a seedy motel with where you put quarters in and the bed shakes around?
Yeah, punish yourself. Deserves to be punished.
I think that's right.
Afterwards.
But I don't like the way you just went there, that the family should leave him. That seems nasty.
Could you imagine being in that spot? You brought your glove as a grown man, and the ball is, like you said, just
coming right directly at you.
Like, give me, I sent you the video. That guy at the Packers Bears game.
I remember that game. That was a Monday night game.
Jumping for the leaping into the stands for the field goal. That's effort.
How do you put your head on the pillow if you're that guy?
I don't think you can.
Really, are you like walking around town with Neil Diamond blasting behind you? Like, how do you do it?
I don't know if you can.
You had $1 million hurled towards you, and you had a glove.
and you brought your glove. Did you see what Sarah Walsh was tweeting out last night?
Well, because her husband is the one that wound up getting the ball.
Correct. So which is great for, listen, great for Aaron Judge. Sucks for the guys that brought their gloves, didn't catch it, because that's, yeah, that's life-changing money. But so he ends up getting the ball. So Sarah Walsh is married to Matt Bushman,
yes.
And she tweets, "Bad news is I'm down here in Florida battling a hurricane, but the good news is I can announce my retirement." So then she sees him give the ball back, and she goes, "Oh, cool. He just handed that back without checking to see if our house is still here. I'd next like to announce our divorce."
That's cute.
That's cute. It's nice the lady got to keep the ball. He got the ball.
I can't believe he just gave it back. I guess you have to, right? If you're like involved in Major League Baseball.
Yes, he works for the team.
You have to give it back.
You have
see,
to.
What,
no
you know what? He should have been devious. He should have flipped it up to that guy and given a little wink, wink, nod, nod. You know what? Now we split the money.
Now we break it off or just yeah, pretend. I don't even know how you could. You couldn't even. There's nothing he could do. He was in a bad spot there.
That's a tough spot. What's he going to do? Sorry.
Nothing.
Start calling up Fanatics. For $1.3 million, this can be yours.
Hey, I could have got this much. I'll give it back. You give me this much.
Yes, exactly. Now, he had no choice. He had absolutely no choice. But here we are, 61. He's gonna hit more, right? We know that he's going to get 62 and maybe beyond that. And what a season for this guy. I mean, Rick, think about what he's doing. He's leading in the Triple Crown, and he just tied the all-time American League home run record. I said it a couple months ago. I said, I think this could be the greatest season we've ever seen. He said, hang on a second. Like, don't get ahead of yourself. It's a great season. Rick, if it's not the greatest, it has to be the top two or three that we've ever seen. This is unbelievable what he's doing.
Yeah, it's right there. I mean, it's absolutely right there, especially under the circumstances. How we started the season, expectations for the season, and now where we're at. And even as we went through the season, what he's been able to do, carrying this team. And nothing has seemed to affect him. And, you know, finally he gets this, you know, this 61st home run, gets that in his rear view, and he can keep moving forward. But, I mean, if he ends up at the end of this with however many home runs he hits and the Triple Crown plus the MVP, oh.
Well, the MVP is done. No,
the MVP is locked up. Yeah,
right. I mean, so MVP is done. I brought up the major league lead in batting average, Freeman and McNeil, Goldschmidt. It goes Judge at 313 and Arise also at 313.
Yeah, percentage points here.
Right, so it's percentage points. Bogarts has really slipped. He's down to 309. So it kind of feels at the moment, unless Bogarts goes on a real tear, this might be a 2-man race.
But you never know. Right, I mean, because Bogarts was right there, and then all of a sudden, now Bogarts has slipped off.
Right, right. Listen, if Bogarts goes 4 for 5, all of a sudden, right, he's right back there. But right now, as we sit here and speak, it really looks like a 2-man race. So, Rick, think about that: MVP, which is done; Triple Crown, which looks very promising; and the home run record for the Yankees, the American League, and depending on where you fall on this, maybe your all time home run record. This is a season that will be remembered forever.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those seasons. I mean, this is. Especially if you're, first of all, just a baseball in general, absolutely. But if you're a Yankees fan, this will be one of the seasons you point to. Now, we'll see how it ends, but just a singular regular season from, I would say, a majority of Yankees fans' favorite Yankee right now, your captain. Yeah, like it doesn't get, outside of them going on to win a championship, I don't know how this season could have been better for Aaron Judge.
It couldn't. I'm sure he'll tell you, and I actually believe it to be true, that a championship for him is really what he desperately wants. But what more? I mean, you could win the Triple Crown. It's a season you bet on yourself, that you're having a year that no one else has ever seen anything like, almost. Like, this is a magical year for him. And it continues.
Well, what's amazing, though, to me, and I'm sure to everyone else, is that we're in this, and I know it drives you crazy because it drives me crazy, just, yeah, we're all set with batting average. Doesn't mean anything as long as we have, you know, on base percentage and slugging percentage, in the home runs, that we don't care about the batting average. So he is the best power hitter, and it's not even close in the sport, and he leads the American League in batting average. Like, that's yes. I don't think you can overstate how impressive that is.
It's unbelievable. Quickly, let's take a listen to Aaron Judge, and then we'll break, come back, get to the calls and more from Aaron Judge on what went through his mind during home run number 61.
Well, I was hoping it got over the fence. I didn't know at first. You know, I didn't want to be standing at home plate when it hits the wall, and it's an incredible honor. And, you know, there was a lot of emotions. You know, it took me a little longer than I wanted to, but, you know, getting a chance to add two runs to the board, you know, how about Gary get another win? You know, this is something pretty special.
He's amazing, too. Like even I don't like the Yankees. Like, I detest the Yankees. I root against them every chance I get. He's a hard guy not to like. No?
Yeah, you're right. No, because you're right. I don't care. I mean, even if you hate the Yankees, I don't know how you could not like every. I think every baseball fan would love to have Aaron Judge. Like, you'd love for him to be on your team.
Yes.
Because he does everything the right way.
I think there's going to be a few teams that are pursuing him in a big, big way this offseason.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere. Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Aaron Judge, I promise you we're going to get to the Mets and the fact that they have a one-game lead, which to me is huge. We'll get to that in, I don't know, say 15 minutes. Your quarterback of the future is going to be your quarterback on Sunday against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh and Zach Wilson. And we'll get to all of that. We have observations. We had DF coming up at 6:45 this morning, led by the great RJ Santillo. I'm looking forward to those a lot. He does such a great job, doesn't he?
The best. He's really the rock is what he is of the show.
Well, if he leaves the show, I think I've said the show dies if I leave the show. But if he leaves the show, I don't know what happens.
It keeps going.
It dies.
It dies.
No, you
know what RJ's like? You remember E.T.? When E.T., like, he leaves and the flower, it starts to fade and wither and it doesn't work properly. It's not a flower anymore. I think we're just a show.
No, I think that's an immense disservice to the three of you. I disagree.
Well, we'll still, like, the show will still be a show, but it won't be the show.
You're right. It won't be the show that people tune in for. It'll be a nice show.
What if you found someone better?
No, it's impossible.
Stop it.
What you bring to the table per square inch is better than anyone in the business.
Oh, no. Why?
Yeah,
Why'd you have to bring PSI into it?
I'm just telling you right now. No one packs more into a little body than RJ Santillo telling us.
You know, the Pocket Hercules was good, though. Remember him?
He's no RJ Santillo, I'll tell you that right now.
I know, he was pretty impressive.
I don't care how impressive he is. RJ
you
Santillo
think that
RJ's is
better
the
than Pocket
best.
Hercules?
Yes.
You see what he thinks of you, RJ?
You really like saying Pocket Hercules.
It was a great nickname.
It was his nickname in high school. Mm. It'd actually be a really good nickname, actually.
You know what's troubling? Is that what? I keep seeing all the highlights of the Blue Jays fan that didn't catch Judge's home run ball.
And right. Embarrassed himself.
Well, they kept showing him throughout the game, and he was getting angrier. There's
he
one
should have gone home.
There's
that
one
was devastating.
There's a cut of him slamming his glove. Then a few minutes later, he's throwing his hat.
He threw his glove at somebody.
He was losing his mind.
He should. He dropped $1 million.
Actually, he's just sitting right there.
Maybe he goes through all the stages of grief as the game progresses.
He should. It was awful.
You wanted him to go home and commit
Well, no,
suicide.
I guess he had to stay because, you know, it would have been his luck. He would have left in the 62 would have been hit right there.
Right into his seat, yeah.
Right, like sit there and nestled into his chair.
I'm not even joking. I finally actually did catch a foul ball. First time ever. Curtis Granderson hit it. I was at a Rays game, and I know no one likes Tropicana Field, but there's no one there, so like you had a good chance of catching a ball. I'm sitting there. Ball goes over my head. I jump. Terrific effort. I left it all there and then missed it, went over my head, lands behind us, hit somebody in the chest, and my sister-in-law, who's just sitting there eating nachos, the ball lands directly in her nachos and she gets the foul ball.
In the nachos?
Right in the nachos.
And then she got the foul ball.
Yeah, didn't move.
But that guy had it. But that guy had a mitt.
Ugh, you brought your own glove and you missed it.
And he was positioned perfectly.
You almost got to bring one of those big gloves if you're going to go all in. One of those big giant
like a gloves. Clown glove?
Yeah, the big clown glove.
Ugh, he had it and he let it get away. Let's hear a little bit more from Aaron Judge. Here he is on hitting the historic number 61.
It's an incredible honor, you know, and getting a chance to be associated with one of the Yankee greats, you know, one of baseball's greats, be enshrined with him forever is words can't describe it. Now, that's one thing that's so special about the Yankees organization is all the guys that came before us and kind of paved the way and played the game the right way, did the things the right way, did a lot of great things in this game, and getting a chance to be, you know, mentioned with those guys now is, I can't even describe it. It's incredible honor, that's for sure.
You know, we hear so many athletes that say stuff and we're just like, oh, God, are you kidding me? Like Kyrie the other day was like, you know, I let $100 million go by not getting vaccinated. And you shake your head. This guy always says the right thing. He's always in the right spot.
I mean, he's how many Yankees fans you thought after Derek Jeter was retired thought they would have somebody that would be, and he's not they're not the same, but pretty similar, that would come in and fill that role?
I don't think anybody thought that.
And here's Aaron Judge, and he's not wrong.
Could you imagine? Jeter was he was surrounded by better players than Judge.
But think about that though. Like think the names, like to be mentioned in the same conversation. Like you're in the same conversation as Babe Ruth. Like you just hit one more home run than Babe Ruth. How cool that is!
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
I mean, when you think about now, Cowboys are a legendary team, but then. Nobody, I mean, and I'm not actually trying to be disrespectful. I'm being honest. Like, nobody cares about these records with the Cowboys. They don't matter. You don't even know what they are. Like, Emmitt Smith was great, but if I asked you what were his numbers, you'd have no idea, right? Troy Aikman, Roger Staubach, the Michael Irvin, these numbers, that nobody cares, right? But baseball, the numbers, and it's so built on numbers, and it's so built on history and tradition and the past. And for him to break it, and know about whose record he broke, and I just think it's phenomenal. I really do. I think all of it is great. I think it's great for him. I think it's great for the organization, and I think it's great for the Yankees fan.
And it's good for the sport. It is. It's good for the sport because Aaron Judge has done it the right way.
Although and I do question
what
nationally how big of a thing this is.
The fact that it's actually getting attention, though, like I mean, baseball is such a regional sport. I mean, every time that he got up. You know, Kay would introduce it as "Thank you for you know everyone nationally
joining
us."
Network, right?
Yeah. So people are paying attention. You saw, I mean, the pitchers in Toronto were getting booed by their own fans when they walked them.
Right. No, that's like, it's not a big deal. I'm just like in comparison, 98 was a monstrosity.
It
like
was
98
a huge
was
deal.
Just, I mean, you couldn't do it. You couldn't like turn on the evening news and stay away from it.
You know, baseball's just not. I mean, baseball is just not as interesting for a lot of people now. It's not. I mean, you're seeing all these rules change. I mean, they're trying. I mean, all the rule changes that they're going to have in place next year to try to make it more enjoyable for people to watch and consume. But no, I mean, baseball, like football, is king, and baseball's taking a back seat.
Well, football's king. It's not close.
Not even close.
And then basketball, I think, is a second sport. I prefer baseball more, but I think if
too.
You ask the average person, basketball has bypassed baseball right now.
I'd say you're probably right.
And then baseball is third, and then hockey is fourth. If you're
well, the problem is, and we've already taken a couple phone calls on it. It depends on you know personally how you feel about it. If you're one of these people, and I don't mean in New York, I mean nationally, that looks at 61. As the record, then you're probably more interested in what's going on as opposed to someone that thinks that 73 is the record. They're like, okay, he hit 61. What does that matter? 73 is the record.
Well, I think therein lies the problem, is that what happened in 98 is so odd, right? Because we're not sure how to act, that I don't think people know how to feel right now.
Well, I think it just depends on how you it depends, I think, just on how you feel about it.
Well, I think if you're a Yankees fan, most Yankee fans probably look at this as the record. I personally don't, but I think if you walked around, I don't know, Dallas or San Francisco or, you know, Seattle and said, what's the record? That most people would still say it's Barry Bonds at 73. That would be my guess. I don't know that that's actually accurate, but that would be my guess.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. I look at the record of 73.
And so do I.
But having watched, like, getting a chance to watch Aaron Judge play every single game, I have a greater appreciation for what he's doing, as opposed to somebody that hasn't really paid attention to what was going on and now gets thrust in the whole, hey, Aaron Judge is trying to hit 61.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at what we do. We're in the field of sports talk radio. We're also here at the epicenter of, this is the eye of it, right? We're in New York, where it's back page news all the time.
Like, the year Barry Bonds hit 73 home runs, Sammy Sosa hit 64. Right? So, I mean, it's just that we're in a different time now. In a year, too, that started with everyone complaining that the balls had no juice in them and they weren't going anywhere.
And look at who's second in Major League Baseball? Schwarber?
Schwarber, yeah.
And what is he, a 42?
He's 42.
All right. So 60. So there's a 19 home run differential?
Yes.
Oh, that's wild.
Oh, by the way, the year, so 2001 when Bonds hit 73, Sammy Sosa hit 64 home runs and drove in 100, had 160 RBI.
Yeah, and you know what, you think of Sammy Sosa and you don't even think of anything. Like, it doesn't even move the needle at all how great Sammy Sosa was.
Sammy Sosa went 64, 160 and had a 328 batting average.
Which is a better season than Judge. right? I mean, you can't argue that.
He's got 30. Judge has 130 RBI.
160.
Sammy Sosa had 160. 160.
That's why. And 328.
And 328, yeah.
And 64?
64 home runs.
Yeah, and honestly, if you would have said to me that was 2001? No, it was 98.
No, that was 2001.
2001. If you would have said to me, what were Sosa's numbers in 2001? I would have had no idea. None. And I think there's the issue, that those guys in many ways ruined baseball for a lot of people and ruined the record books for a lot of people.
No, they tainted it. It left a sour taste in everyone's mouth, and now everyone kind of just is over. Like, you were right. Like, how you said it, how you framed it earlier when you were talking about how important numbers in history were with baseball. It's unlike any other sport. Like, there was what did Kay refer to as, like, it's like church. Like, it's like they took so much pride in those numbers and being able to, you know, compare each player generation to generation. We have the basketball Mount Rushmore conversation, right? It's like, well, how do you compare, like, you know, Bill Russell and this generation? With baseball, you had the numbers and they had the history. And because of what they did with the home run record, which was like the most important record for a lot of people.
They tainted it, is what they did.
Yeah.
Which really does stink. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. DPHR Rothenberg is always presented by the fine folks at Progressive Insurance. You know what I have right in front of me? Right in front of me. Tickets to the big Jets tailgate. Right? This is going to be a huge event.
It's one of our biggest events.
Well, I mean, a huge event. We call it the ultimate ESPN New York Jets tailgate, and it's coming October the 9th. And this is nice. Everyone can go. Everyone is welcome. We'll have a pregame celebration in Lot G before the Jets take on Miami with all your favorite 98.7 ESPN hosts. By the way, I got to tell you a story that you'll laugh. I forgot to tell you the other day. Plus tailgate games, prize giveaways, live music from Randy Zoo. Be caller number. What number you think?
Oh, that's a good question. How about we go caller number two?
Number two, right now at 888-987-ESPN, you'll score VIP tailgate passes and premium suite tickets to the game. Listen to DPHR and Rothenberg in the morning and the Michael Kay Show in the afternoon all this week to win the ultimate ESPN New York Jets tailgate, brought to you by Guinness, Pepsi, and 98.7 ESPN. I did something that, leaving the Giants game, I probably shouldn't have done. I probably shouldn't even tell you the story.
No, you should tell it. Tease it.
I could tell you right now. I don't have to tease it. We have a minute. I built in a minute for the story.
But oh,
now,
let's hear
I'm thinking,
it.
Now I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't tell you.
No, you have to. You can't do that to us.
No, because you're going to judge me.
I already judge you.
You already do?
No, of course not. This is like Planet Fitness. It's a judgment-free zone.
So, I was leaving. We were walking to the car. I was leaving. And I was in a bad way, a bad state of mind. And this is probably shouldn't be let out with population. And there was a lot of Cowboys fans at this event the other night. And there was one Cowboys, it was a tent, and they were celebrating, and they were dancing, and they had a microphone, and they were mocking, and they were playing, you know, Celebrate Good Times, and we walked by, and I was getting very upset. I unplugged their tent.
No, you didn't.
I went to the back.
There's zero chance because you would have a black guy right now if you did that.
They didn't know it was me.
Oh, okay.
They didn't know it was me.
See, this is another case of you just flat out ignoring me. I told you there was going to be a bunch of Cowboy fans.
You're missing the point of the story. So, I mean, Rick, I mean, can you please tell the? That's not the story. The story is not how many Cowboys fans there were. There were plenty. The story is that I took a moment where I risked life and limb and unplugged the plug, and it all went dark and died.
And the story is the sabotage is what the story
That's
is.
That's right. I'm a saboteur.
You're a saboteur.
I will commend you for getting out of there with, you know, unscathed, basically. How did that whole process play out?
It was packed under a tent. It was a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I was able to kind of quietly kneel in the corner for a moment, rip the plug out of the power strip, rip it out, and then everything went dark, but they didn't know it was me.
Did you have complete confidence that nobody would know? Like when you
I thought 90% plus that I could do it, and I thought I was going to blame Alex because no one would go after a 12-year-old.
So you had considered that somebody would catch you.
I thought there was a small chance, but I thought if I said, Alex, what are you doing, that we would get out scot-free regardless.
Would he have known to play along?
He's very bright, yeah.
He is very smart.
I'm impressed you knew what a power strip was.
I do.
See, this is your problem, Santiago. You watch Titanic and you think it's about the ship sinking. It's not.
You know. It's about the love story.
It's the story within the story. This is about sabotage.
But see, most things in Dave's life are about him being diabolical and or lazy. So
I don't think that. This
was more diabolical. He actually took care of it himself. So that's, you know, strike one from laziness. So
you know what he just
did there?
You know what he just did there? He just verbally urinated on the living room floor is what he did in front of you. No respect.
None. Am I Barkley now?
Yeah, maybe worse.
So
maybe
nasty.
Worse.
And in that moment, I felt like $1 million.
In that one moment, you had your win.
I was like, "That's right, take that, you stinking Cowboys fans! You're not dancing to Cool in the Gang." No,
I'm very disappointed you didn't mention this on Tuesday.
I forgot, but now I remembered, and now I told you because I was in such a way. Now
you can
now
see clearly. Now you have no food. Yeah, now this is like the Aaron
exactly.
Rodgers thing.
I can tell all the stories that I haven't told in the past.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
So every time we play Coolio, when we return, we have to tell people that...
It's about respect, Dave. It's about respect.
When who knows what happens on Friday with this procedure, but there will be a time when we just play all your greatest hits. And we'll let people know that.
So if that's it on Friday, like something bad happens, they find something, or I just don't wake up from the anesthesia, or something happens. Monday, you it will be littered with
three
my
hours
greatest
of this.
Hits.
3 hours of this.
Go and show and show that you were growing too. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday. What the hell happened? That's a very underrated one, by the way.
The problem with half your drops is it's always me laughing in the background with the drop because it's.
But
so funny.
I think that makes it funnier.
That's definitely part of it.
Yeah, I think that's part of the allure.
Give us a shot.
Roar!
That was the original, I think. I think Roar might have been
that was the first
Who's
one.
Who's the cat now? Rear!
What was Who's the Cat Now in reference to?
Who's the captain now?
No, you said cat.
You said cat.
I know, but it's in reference to that.
Yeah, we used Who's the Captain Now last week, and then because you backed him into a corner, and he was now the cat.
Who's the cat now?
You sound
now
drunk.
You got it.
You sound drunk when you
Brian,
say that.
Brian, fire him. That was for Santiago, not for RJ. So Monday, but you think the show goes on Monday? I'm clinging this weekend. And then finally, you get a call Sunday, I don't know, after the Giants win, and then I'm like, okay, now I can go. And then I go. You guys do the show Monday morning?
I'll do you one better. If you hadn't gone yet, they would have Comrexes sent to the ICU, and we would do the show live.
Oh, God!
And use you as a puppet to be on the show.
And we promise Dave is here.
Davis here, yeah.
So you think like late afternoon Sunday, it ends then. The show happens on Monday morning?
Come hell or high water, yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah. I can't believe that the three of you guys would be able to do the show.
I wouldn't. It would be impossible.
And who would you get to fill in?
I don't know. I mean, they had me doing the show from a business center in Vegas at 1 in the morning.
Maybe they send you back to Vegas. Rothenberg is dead. Go back to Vegas.
We got a beautiful studio. Oh, you mean the business center? Yeah, it's beautiful.
Alice in Chains and Breaking Benjamin are coming to PNC Bank Arts Center Friday, October 7th, next Friday. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, to score a pair of tickets, all from Live Nation. Tickets on sale right now at livenation.com. We'll get to observations and DHIF, but he wants to talk about the big Mets win, and that is 21-year-old Yov in Israel. Good morning, Yov.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing beautifully. I mean, just beautifully, Yov.
Wow, that was a big win by the Mets last night. I mean, the biggest win of the year, like Rick says, and right now I am going to turn into this series. I'm a Yankees fan, but this is the most interesting series I've been Major League Baseball as in a long time. I mean, three games set right in the end of the season. Who's going to decide who's going to get the bye and who's going to play the San Diego Padres or the Philadelphia Phillies? And you're talking about the rain delay. I think if they play this game on Friday on one, it will be great for Major League Baseball to put this game on the spotlight, to see those two teams only. This will be the only game they play in these hours. I mean, it would be great for baseball.
But, how many people outside of Mets or Braves fans do you think are tuned in to Mets-Braves 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon?
I think a lot, Dave.
Really?
No. Yeah, because it's other than fact on the San Diego Padres and the Philadelphia Phillies fans, so they should be turned into this game. And I think if you love baseball,
what effect does it have on the Padres and the Phillies?
I mean, who's going to play in the wild card?
And you think they're tuned in 1 o'clock on a Friday to find out who they're going to potentially play? And really,
if I was a San Diego Padres, if my Yankees were sitting and waiting and see who is going to win the division and who is going to play them in the wild card, I would sit and watch this game because it's very important. The matchup is matter, and it's going to matter on how we're going to feel about this matchup. I mean, it's a big difference.
Well, listen, Yov, and thanks for the call. We love you. You know how we feel about you. I could not disagree with him more. I don't think anybody cares. I think that outside of New York and Atlanta, and I think this is the biggest series of the entire season in all of baseball.
What do you mean you think?
I do.
Yeah, I don't think it's a thought. I mean, I think that's the reality.
So it's just factual. This is the biggest series in baseball this entire season up to this point.
And you're going to get, you get Sunday Night Baseball. I mean, it's going to be the last Sunday Night Baseball game. It's going to be Braves-Mets.
But this idea that they're glued to the television in San Diego or Philadelphia is, to me, I love Yov. I think it's just a terrible point.
It's not a great. It was not one of his best. No, it doesn't change how I feel about him, though.
No, I adore him as well. But why? I mean, Yov's a Yankees fan. Why is he so geeked up for this Mets series?
Very geeked up. Very geeked up. I see. But that's the thing. If you're a San Diego Padres fan, I mean, you're really more concerned about what happens with the. You're really not. I mean, you're playing Atlanta. Oh, I guess you're playing.
Well, you're playing the loser of the series,
the
right?
The loser of the series, yeah.
Well, but so, I mean, so what? I mean, it's like pick your poison, no? You can't even root for one of the teams.
I would rather not play either.
Exactly. It's not like there's a weak link there. You either play the defending champions who are great or the Mets whose pitching is as good as anybody you've seen in forever.
That's right.
So, you know, like typically if that happens, you'll be like, well, I want to watch the series because I really want to play this team. That doesn't exist in that series.
Imagine telling your boss, hey, listen, I'm going to have to duck out early.
Yeah.
For what?
I got this, Mets-Braves.
I got this Mets-Braves game.
I got this big Mets-Braves 1 o'clock. Oh, well, okay, you know, go ahead.
I'm going to pick up some fish tacos and I'm going to take the day.
And you're a Padres fan. You're living in San Diego. What time's the game? Now. But it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, but I got to go.
You just got here.
You got here 30 minutes ago. Yeah, I know. That's what makes this so difficult. I have to get out of here. But have a great weekend.
This is a tough ask, but listen.
Yeah, listen. But you have all the reports due today. Yeah, no, I know. That's what makes this really so hard. But I got to go. You see what the Phillies are doing, by the way? Phillies are completely falling apart.
Yeah, they're not. They're in a way right now.
They stink.
Yeah, Milwaukee's only half game back now.
Is it only half?
It's only half a game.
Yeah. How about that, huh?
Yeah, how about that?
So, right now, Mets lose 2 of 3 in Atlanta. No, can I speak words?
Speak words.
Mets lose 2 of 3 in Atlanta, sweep Washington, and they win the division.
Well, how's that?
What do you mean?
Yeah, but now you have to sweep Washington.
Okay. But it's not like Washington is a juggernaut.
That's why last night was so important.
Huge.
Because you're last the tiebreaker.
Last night goes from you have to win 2 of 3 against Atlanta to you'd love to, and it would pretty much clinch the division for you. But if you lose 2 of 3, you still have a very good chance to win this division.
Well, no, it's better to break it down this way. So if you had lost last night, you would have won, and you win the 2 of 3 against Atlanta, you still control your own destiny. Because you won last night and Atlanta lost, you can afford to lose 2 of 3 and you still control your own destiny.
Correct. And if you somehow win 2 of 3, you're going to win the division.
Oh, I love when you say that. I love it.
Right? Is that not accurate?
It makes me feel, oh, it was Eduardo Escobar, your guy.
I can't stand him, and he was great last night.
He's been great also. Look at his September numbers.
He's been phenomenal this September. Phenomenal this September.
You know how important it is that he's hitting now for us?
Well, thank God somebody is.
Well, exactly right. But, I mean, just when you, like, if you fast forward, and I don't want to do it yet, but, I mean, we're already guaranteed a playoff spot. But, like, just fast forward. That's well said by me.
Fast forward, forward?
The whole Marte thing concerns me still because he's still on a split and still, like, uncomfortable.
And they said it's still swollen.
That's not great. But that, I mean, the fact that Escobar is hitting changes a lot. Because now you don't have to worry. But, I mean, you can, in theory, have Canna play left, Nimmo play center, Marte play right, and now I could put Guillorme at third if I wanted to, and I could use Escobar as a DH.
Correct. That is accurate. Yes. Well, how do you feel about
back or rough or?
How do you feel? Yeah. Enough with. By the way, you see what J.D. Davis is doing with the Giants?
Yeah, I don't know why you want to bring that up now.
Because I think we have to. This is what we do. We're full disclosure. We're a sports talk show. I think we need to let people know that J.D. Davis has been red, scalding hot with the Giants.
But that deadline still bothers me. Still, to this day, bothers me.
And you know what? It's going to bother you more if they don't succeed in October.
I just don't. I don't get it. You can't. They won't. It won't make sense to me.
It never will. You know what, though? Last night, Drew Smith, We've talked about this numerous times. If you could just get good pitching out of the... Because Diaz is going to be great, right? He was great last night. He's been great.
Awesome.
I don't worry about him at all. If you can give me two other guys, two, between Lugo, Ottavino, Drew Smith, Peterson, Carrasco, assuming
McGill.
He's going to go, McGill, right? Trevor May, who I don't like at all. But give me two of those guys, and now all of a sudden you got something.
Well, I think you've seen. I mean, you saw it last night. I think you have a pretty good idea of who Buck trusts and how it's going to look. It's going to go. I mean, perfect world. It would go starter for 7, Ottavino, then Diaz. And if the starter doesn't go 7, it's going to go Lugo, Ottavino, Diaz, and then Drew Smith sprinkled in the mix.
Yeah, I like Drew Smith.
I do too.
I like him a lot. With Mako and their magic, your car is no longer tragic. If life throws you
uh-ohs.
Just say better get Mako and go to Mako.com to get an online estimate and do that, of course, today. We love him. He's ours. RJ Santillo, the floor is yours.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
This is a knob.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with.
This.
I have you. Don't even know how to play football, all right?
He's also a knob.
That's a clown question, bro.
And these are Knobservations.
Now, they're brought to you by Jack Pocket. So away we go.
Was that Richard Sherman, by the way, with Aaron Andrews?
It was.
That is very underrated. That's terrific.
Mm.
Nothing? I find that to be highly entertaining. No, but no one's talking about you.
Well, I appreciate that. It's growing on you, the Open, after harsh criticism over two weeks.
There was only one Open that was the bad. Was the picks Open was terrible.
Oh, God.
The outfit.
Listen,
the outfit
you know picks. That I've been kissing up to you recently, but yeah. I even can't. That picks open was just dreadful.
I can live with that.
Yeah.
I can live with that. So in order to go fast forward forward, as Rick would say.
Fast forward forward.
We must first go rewind backwards. And
fast forward forward.
So Micah Parsons, he talked to The Athletic. Not sure if you guys saw this. So he addressed being sick during Monday night's win, where Dave said this.
Micah Parsons, my belly ache. I can't get to the quarterback. My belly ache.
Mm-hmm. So Parsons.
I'm a disaster, huh?
No. Parsons said, and I quote from The Athletic, "I could have a stomach virus. I could be pooping my pants, and I'd still want to play. I live to play the game. Me at 60 is better than most people at 100.
Wow.
End quote.
Wow.
Love the confidence. Love it.
Yeah, the confidence is great, but the cocky and obnoxious, I don't appreciate that.
You know what's funny? I actually have had some of my best games not
what,
feeling.
You pooping your pants?
Not close. Close.
DiPietro is a...
he has
2.1 just... goals against when he has pooped his pants.
Bowel
that was supposed to be
issues.
A fart.
Yeah.
Look for brown stains.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, come on, Santiago. Oh,
okay, we're moving on.
I mean, what is the matter with you? You always have to be that guy that takes it just a little bit too far.
Oh yeah, it's me. It's always me.
So, Eli Manning, eventful couple of days. Not sure he thought it would go here, but so you saw the Chad Powers gimmick where he's a walk-on undercover
at Penn State.
Yeah,
clever.
He goes out there, he's slinging the football around, he gets the attention of Penn State scouts because he stands out amongst actual walk-ons. Funny stuff. So on the Manning cast, that'll be relevant in just a moment. So on the Manning cast, Eli took a little shot at Russell Wilson because the Bronco offense has not been moving.
They should have paid that punter $235 million instead of Russell.
So, yesterday, Russell Wilson, some thoughts.
You talking about Chad Powers? yeah, you know, Chad Powers, you know, I'm 3-0 against Chad Powers. You know?
We laugh, but people keep track of these things.
That's the man keeping receipts right there,
it
boys.
It really is. He knew right off that question what his record was against Eli Manning, huh?
He knew he was going to be asked about it. A lot of receipts being kept. A lot more.
A lot of receipts.
A lot of paper. Hopefully, digital receipts.
Russell Wilson is he's a strange guy.
I'm not sure which approach because he has that inner confidence. I'm not sure you get to his level without it. But he's also the same guy that makes really strange TikToks and Subway ads.
He's very nerdy.
You're not feeling the danger, witch.
he's an odd guy.
I think that's fair.
You know, I knew Russell Wilson back in the day.
NC State?
As a young journalist.
As a young journalist.
You know, forget it. I can't see anything. Forget it. Just continue along.
I was actually going to inquire about
the story. I was going to say, we got along very nicely. He's actually a really nice guy. And he also played, when I was the voice of the Campbell Camels, he played baseball at NC State, and they played against Campbell. So I got to know him a little bit.
How was he
as
a baseball player in your opinion?
Not great.
In your professional opinion?
Not great. I was always shocked that there was this, he could have been a professional baseball player conversation.
He was Mr. Limited.
Not great. Very, very limited, yes.
Well done. Thursday Night Football tonight, gentlemen. And the Bengals, home to the undefeated Miami Dolphins. So Tyreek Hill was asked about the matchup.
Looking forward to the challenge. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to go against Eli Apple, man. I owe you, boy. I owe you. I'm here. The cheetah is here.
I love it. I hope he runs circles around Eli Apple.
People do not like him.
Eli
did
Apple?
Did you watch the actual interview, though? Like, you played just that little snippet from it. Did you watch the actual interview with...
Where he's got the glasses on and...
No, but he doesn't even know who they're playing. He's like, who are we playing?
The very beginning, he goes, we're playing Thursday? Amazon Prime? Yeah. No way.
He didn't know?
No,
he had no idea they were playing on Thursday. And then he had no idea who they were playing.
By the way, can I just interrupt for a moment? I'm getting very hungry.
It's only 6:52.
I'm telling you, I'm getting hungry.
You have like 30 hours to go.
I have, 29 hours.
This is not good.
No, none of it is good.
So you remember...
I might punt on this whole colonoscopy
thing. That'd be something if you got like 6 hours out and just gorged yourself.
I don't know that I can make it.
He fell off the wagon.
Doc, I'm sorry.
You have Debbie Duhame doing the play-by-play with his colon.
Something's happened.
Yeah, what are these Twinkies?
We have a severe blockage in Dave Rothenberg's colon.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick and Dave.
A deranged man broke into a bakery.
So
why would I have to break in?
So in order to go
fast forward, forward,
we once again have to go backward, backward.
You guys are the worst.
So
no, they're the best.
So when we called our own Peter Rosenberg at his other job, Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and our own Peter Rosenberg on Hot 97, we heard some of the fallout. We lived through it. There was cuts from it, drops, funny stuff. Did you hear what happened after we hung up the phone on their end?
No.
I have procured this.
Oh. Matter of fact, I'm tired of those ESPN guys leeching off this program. Rothenberg just called Rosenberg while we were off the air a second ago, too.
Why? Why is he trying to take our shine?
And I was like, yo, no, let's put your show on this show and our show on that show at the same time. If you're going to call Rosenberg off the air, let's do the damn thing.
And cross-promote.
Yeah, he didn't even want to acknowledge me, that Rothenberg.
Wow. I don't think that's
how I took it.
You think Michael Kay would come in and sit in for a day instead of Rosenberg?
Oh, back to this Rob Rothenberg character.
Right.
He's a nice guy.
I love Rothenberg, yeah. Nice guy.
He's on the show with you?
He could be a bad guy.
No, he does a morning show. He's on right now while we're on.
Oh, who cares about him?
Ooh.
I don't want to. What kind of challenge? Because I'll tell you what I don't want with Rothenberg is sports trivia challenge.
Well, he's a maniac.
Never seen anything like it.
So hit him with some music trivia. Go toe to toe.
That would be just embarrassing. We had Q-Tip on the show a couple weeks ago, but he did not know who Q-Tip was.
And you consider this guy a friend?
Wow. I do.
Wow.
Well, I don't think it's that bad.
What's up, Ebro?
But I think Ebro doesn't know that I called out for him that day.
Oh, he does. I think he does.
You think that would change things?
I don't think that was ever brought to his attention.
I think you hurt his feelings. I think that relationship is dead, maybe.
Laura Stiles taking some shots.
I could do some Hot 97 in the morning. What's up, Ebro?
You did. Yeah, that was like your best Russell Wilson impersonation right
there. Yeah, you're
not
wrong.
What's
up, Ebro? You are not wrong.
All right, Raymond.
That's how we do it when you're real in Florida.
All right, got the visual on the male. He is naked, doing push-ups at the entrance of the food store here.
Did it happen in Florida?
Because there ain't no better place in the world to live than right here, dude. It should be a two-drink minimum anywhere you walk in.
Come on vacation, leave on probation.
And you will come back on violation.
So in all seriousness, though, really thoughts with anyone in Florida, relatives, friends in Florida. This is just something we do every week. But on a serious note, I feel like I need to say that. But humorous level of things, changing gears. This sent to me by a few people, Vinny, Tom, others on Instagram. So, unfortunately, we've all gone through breakups in life. Some divorces, never a good thing, but you move forward, right? Not everyone. So a divorced man, sometime back, apparently is not over it because police arrested a 68-year-old gentleman. He was visiting the gravesite of his now deceased ex-wife. He was urinating on the grave.
No. Oh, no.
And apparently this is not the first time that this has happened. He's been given some tickets and such, has not slowed him down, so he was arrested this time. So you might wonder, boy, this must be recent. Like, they must have split up, something happened, she passes away. No, they were married in the 70s.
Oh, my God. When did they get divorced?
About a year later. I don't know the exact year. It just says in the 70s.
This is a very, very high level of hatred.
High, high level.
Feelings.
Wow.
So I ask you, did this happen in Florida?
Can you give me a time frame on this?
So it just says the 70s. He's 68. So let's do the math backwards. It's 2022. So that he had to have been 18.
What could she have possibly done?
Yeah, she must be a terrible woman, or he has real issues.
And they've had a long time frame in between here to try to bury the hatchet unsuccessfully.
You're struggling,
Rick,
with this one.
I really, this is a good one. This is a tough one. I'm thinking no, and I'm thinking Europe.
Okay.
But I'm really very uncertain and a bit dizzy right now from not having eaten at all. I'm going to say no, not Florida.
Rick?
I don't like your lack of confidence. I'll go with my initial gut feeling that it was not Florida.
Okay. One hallucinating man, one more confident man. Ray?
I will say not Florida. I do think it's in the States, though.
Wow. It is in the States. It is not Florida.
Yes.
Orangetown, New York.
Wow.
Probably not a place you've heard of. Not that far from here, though. Right in our own backyard.
Where's Orangetown?
Orangetown, New York.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? You're like a police officer doing like just some patrol. Then you come upon this man urinating on a grave.
For like a second time or a third.
Right. I was like, oh, there's Steve.
All right. Oh,
he's doing it again.
He calls back to the station. Guys, Steve's urinating on the grave again.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You've seen the movie 61, right?
I have.
You know, my cousin wrote that movie?
I think you did tell me that before.
Yeah. Like, everyone thinks Billy Crystal wrote it. Billy Crystal was brought on after HBO had purchased it from my cousin.
Oh, that's impressive.
Isn't that cool?
That's really cool.
Yeah. So he called me from filmed at a Tiger Stadium. He called me from Tiger Stadium and told me, you know, he's like, I'm thinking of you. This is so cool. We're filming this thing. I went to this big event at the Armory back in the day and actually met Michael Kay years and years and years ago.
Before you actually knew Michael Kay.
I didn't know him, and I went up and introduced myself, and I don't think he took much interest because there was a million people there. But yes, I actually met him then.
Oh, why can't we have this cousin write like some kind of Dave Rothenberg story, no?
I don't think there's as much interest as there is in the home run chase.
Well, there may not be the initial interest, but I think once people actually, like you put out a nice trailer of the story of you, I think people are...
What's the story? But how does it end? What's the story of me?
I don't know yet. Who knows yet?
So then it's not done then?
Well, no, I think we started, is what I'm saying. Like, we got this big procedure tomorrow. Like, that could be the end. We don't know.
That could be the end.
But I think, I mean, I would pay to watch it.
What if I told you that a child who used to speak to the athletes on the television passed during a colonoscopy?
That wouldn't be how I...
No?
No.
Why don't you give it a try?
No. It would be more towards like, what if I told you a man that once spoke to the television and his favorite athletes that accosted Lawrence Taylor at a urinal during a Bill Cosby concert would one day turn into the greatest sports talk radio show host on the planet.
Oh, I like that.
That's nice right there.
That is nice.
Yeah.
What if I
died of a colonoscopy?
What if I told you that a little boy who believed he could make Lawrence Taylor beat the offensive lineman? Can I get the music back?
Yeah, I think it loses something. I think it loses something with the music.
It loses everything. It doesn't work without the music.
So that, well, we must have been past the 29 seconds.
I'm sorry, 29 seconds. Don't we own that music, though? What if I told you that a little boy living on Long Island would turn into a big-time talk show host? What if I told you that someone that used to write notes to his high school girlfriend and would sign them LT number one would turn into a savant in the sports talk world? That's a 30 for 30.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah.
ESPN presents. What would you call it?
ESPN presents The Roth.
What if I told you
the Dave Rothenberg story?
That as a young journalist following around the camels, that this man who excused himself from his home and family after a regular season loss.
Wasn't really an excuse.
Whose anus was used as a cushion.
Come on. And there we have it. Take it. Take it. And back to Judge. You just can't. You see what this guy, you can't give him a little bit because he tries to take all of it. And then he we need a censor is what we need.
We made it like 3 minutes. That's pretty good.
We need a censor.
We need
someone, you know, like have the people that walk around with the envelopes before the award ceremonies to make sure there's no cheating, no funny business. We need someone to walk around with Rick all the time. So that when he does one of these things, they just slap him right across the face. What's the matter with you?
I thought
no.
It was a good part of the story.
No. All right. So an amazing night. A phenomenal night. We'll hear from Aaron Judge in a moment. How about this quote So this is from Brian Hoke, MLB.com. And I guess everyone has it, but I'm reading it from him. Roger Maris Jr. said that if Aaron Judge hits 62 home runs, he should be celebrated as the single-season home run champion. Asked if he considers Bonds and McGuire to be illegitimate, Maris said, quote, "I do. I think most people do." Do you? Would be my question. Do you right here look at he hits one more, he is now the all-time home run champion? Because I got to be honest, I don't.
I don't. No.
Maybe it's tainted, but it still happened. He hit 73 home runs.
He hit 73 home runs, and it's still recognized as the major league record for most home runs in a season. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
So this idea, like, do we just strike it from history?
Well, they haven't. So why would you choose to now?
I mean, the record books, you open up a record book, what does it say most home runs in a season is who?
73 Barry Bonds.
All right, so I mean, it takes nothing away from this season that Aaron Judge is in the midst of having. But why do we always have to play God? Well, that's not the real record. That is the record. That is the actual record.
Well, because I think it further highlights that period of time where baseball allowed all of it to happen, and now you're dealing with the repercussions of that. That now you do have, you know, you do have a guy who does everything the right way, who is clean, and has now, I mean, he's 61 and poised to hit who knows how many. That would be, I mean, he'd be the guy that you'd want to have the record, right?
Yes, but that doesn't mean you could just say this is his record.
Listen, I get it. But when you ask me the question, like, how much national appeal does this whole thing have? I think it depends on how you feel about that record. If you're a person that thinks that 73 is the record, you're probably not that interested right now. But if you think the record is 61, then yeah, you're very interested in what's going on right now.
Yes. In the record books, it says 73. You have McGuire hit 66. You said before Sosa hit 64. Like, you have more than the 61 that he's hit. Like, 62 is amazing, and it's one of the great seasons we've ever seen. I'm sorry. This is not the record. It's just not.
No, but again, there are people that choose to look at what McGuire, Sosa, and Barry Bonds did as cheating.
I think they cheated as well.
Yeah, but baseball will acknowledge that we're not going to let them, like, they're not getting in the Hall of Fame, but the records, what they accomplished on the field, those still exist. So until they change that, which they're not going to do, then, yeah, I mean, 73 is the record.
73 is the record. And I know that people are going to get very bothered by that and call us and we just can't deal with this, and it was cheating. And it was, and no one's saying it wasn't. But you know what? Baseball identifies Barry Bonds as the most home runs in a single season. And they haven't changed their stance on it, so I don't understand how now people just say, well, this is the record. You want to say this is the most home runs once he hit 62 clean that's ever happened? All right, you know what? I can live with that. But and it doesn't detract from the season he's having. It doesn't at all.
No, it doesn't. He's having an amazing season. But, I mean, when you talk about home run records, I mean, McGuire's hit 70. He's hit 65. I gave you a season where Sosa hit 64. Barry Bonds hit 73. It's just, now it's up to you. And I think that because we had that period of time and how important records are, you know, history is for baseball fans, a lot of the luster of that record has been taken away. Because that was a really important record to a lot of people that love baseball.
It was, you could argue it was the most important record in all of sports, in the entire universe.
And they smashed it. Smashed it.
But they cheated to smash it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but baseball was also complicit with that. Like, baseball knew what was going on. They allowed it to happen.
Sure they did. In fact, not only did they allow it, Rick, I think they liked it.
Of course they liked it. They sensationalized the whole thing. Chicks dig the long ball. They loved it.
They put their sport back on the map as being the sport.
Mark McGuire was doing interviews with Andrustein in his locker, just open for everyone to see.
Correct.
Now, that was just the beginning of what he was doing, but I actually played with a couple guys that saw McGuire This just speaks to my point where I always tell you that athletes, like, we're sheep if you see someone doing it. This was back in high school. Saw that McGuire was using the Androstene, so they decided it was a good idea that they would take the Androstene.
Right.
Oh, what a disaster that was.
What happened?
They would take a scoop, and they would put it in the drink, and they would drink it, and then the second they drank it, they'd go do their workouts. They would instantly turn, like, this, like, flush red color. They would just...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So was it dangerous?
It's not... I don't think it's great. I don't think it's great for you, no.
Uh-huh.
But they're like, you should say, can you see the pump that we're getting? I'm like, no, I just see that you're sweating and you're bright red.
You look like you might pass out.
You look like you could die now. I don't know.
Is what it looks like to me.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.